We're holding over here on Erev Yom Kippur. I don't believe we ever had a shiur on Erev Yom Kippur before. I don't know if Erev Yom Kippur fell out on Sunday recently, but Baruch Hashem, due to Zoom and this type of technology, we're able to have a shiur on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is a funny day, because Mitzad Echad, it's Erev Yom Kippur, but Mitzad Sheni, it's considered a Yom Tif on its own, which is why the davening was somewhat altered today. The slichas was shorter. We have a chiv to eat today. It's a very fascinating day, Erev Yom Kippur, as the preparation for the last hurrah before we enter into Yom Kippur. And again, many people have been speaking about, you know, tshuva of slicha v'kapara. I'm sure you've all heard your local Shabbos Shuvah drasha via Zoom or maybe in person. I'm not here to give another one, but I just want a thought that popped into my head this year for myself more than anything. You know, there's a very famous kasha that everyone struggles with, that if me and you would have written the order of the world, we probably would have made Yom Kippur after Rosh Hashanah. If you think about it, first you got to get clean, cleanse yourself, become pure, and then we can talk about how we're going to get judged for the upcoming year. The way we have it now, it seems backwards. It seems like we went through Rosh Hashanah, but now we're all sullied and dirty from our Averus, and now we go to Yom Kippur. It should have been the reverse. So if I would have structured the year, I would have first had Yom Kippur. We'll have Yom Kippur, we'll get all clean, spot clean, and then we'll go into the Yom Adin, ready, rock and roll. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu can judge me for the upcoming year, because now I'm clean, now I'm tall. Why is it the reverse series? So there's many answers given, much to talk about. But this year, the following idea popped into my mind from my own personal experience. Maybe the pshat is like this. It's funny, you know, when we come to Rosh Hashanah, we all try to do things new. We make Kabbalahs, we try to live a better lifestyle. I'm going to do this right, I'm going to do that right. And I mentioned in one of my drushes to my shul that I think it's important when we make these Kabbalahs that they should be small Kabbalahs. We're not thinking of ideas that I'm going to change the world, I'm never going to talk Lashon Hara again. These are not practical Kabbalahs. A Kabbalah needs to be like a diet. It has to be practical. Right? Anyone knows if you want to make something to last, it has to be practical. So I suggest hit and middle, maybe everyone can come in. Okay. So I was thinking, you know, that's the best way to go. Make small Kabbalahs, but practical Kabbalahs. I give some suggestions that I've heard from other people. You know, say brachas with more kavana, say asher yotzah with kavana. A lot of very little small things. And I myself try to do it. And then I noticed through that session of tshuva that I was falling short on my own Kabbalahs. These little things that I said I was going to do, I wasn't doing it properly. So I said to myself, that's pshat Yom Kippur. The pshat is on Rosh Hashanah, we make Kabbalahs how we want to be for the new year, and then we go a few days into it and we realize we're not living up to what we were supposed to do. We're not living up to our own Kabbalahs. We're not living up to our own new lifestyle changes. And for that, we got a club. What are you talking about? I just made up last week. I'm going to be a better person this week. It's only a few days ago. And right away, I'm already sinning. So that's, in my mind, something that I thought about coming into the Yom Kippur, was the idea that we need to improve. Forget last year. Forget 8 months ago. This week, last Shabbos, last Sunday, we all made up in our mind we're going to be better with this. And 2 days in, 3 days in, forget it. It's back to normal. Forget it. Forget after Yom Kippur. We're not even talking about after Yom Kippur. We're talking about right now. I said, make tshuva. We need a klap al chay for it. You know, I decided I was going to try to be more careful with Hashiyotza. I think this year, more than any other year, we have a new appreciation for Hashiyotza. When everything functions properly in the body, we have a very deep appreciation. Because again, there's so many things that can go wrong in the human body. As Nebuch, we're seeing now, with our own eyes, with Corona, we appreciate it. So I decided, you know, I'm not going to say Hashiyotza, I'm not going to walk around, I'm going to look inside. 2 days into it, I'm already busy doing a million things, saying Hashiyotza. I said to myself, that's Pshat Yom Kippur. I got to clap for that already. I got to clap already for all the things that I said I wasn't going to do, and I'm already 3 days into it. Again, 6 months into it was one thing, 3 days into it, 2 days into it, already I'm already guilty. It's Shreklach. So I think that's one of the ideas that we have to think and keep in mind as we go into Yom Kippur. Forgetting, again, I'm not saying we forget about Averus Chas V'Shalom. I'm just saying, just front and center, the few things that we decided we're going to be better with this year, we already, at least myself already, have been slipping. I already need to be mesakin. Just a thought, one more thought. Again, I don't want to take up too much time. Today's actually a day that the Gemara says you're supposed to be memayit the Talmud Torah. Today is one of the few days where people would learn less because they should be busy with eating and other inyanim of Erev Yom Kippur. But one last thought. It's not my thought. It's a famous Aruch Lener. It's worth mentioning. The Aruch Lener points out that he did a study in history about all the years when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos and we didn't blow Shofar. We spoke about this in our Shir, that there's a Gemara. The Gemara says if you don't blow Shofar in the beginning of the year, it's going to be a bad year. Taisus quotes over there, but there's one exception if it's because of Shabbos. So the Aruch Lener writes that he did a research. And he studied all the years where we don't blow shofar on the first year, well, the first day was Shabbos. And he found something very interesting. He found some years it was very good for Klal Yisrael. But he said he found some years it was actually very bad. He found many years when Rosh Hashanah fell out the first day in Shabbos. We don't blow shofar, things were not good for Klal Yisrael. And he dates it even as far back as to the Churban. He tracks it back down to both Churban but the Mikdashim. He makes the Cheshvin that some of it was during was years that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. Just on a side note, the year of 9/11, Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. Just to put everyone in that mindset. Not to scare anyone, but just to put it into a perspective. Rabbi Soloveitchik was quoted as saying, it's not about fear. We don't want to scare people in Yom Kippur. We want a healthy balance of awareness. Scaring people is yish. No one works with scaring, but awareness. So the Aruch HaNer said, what's the pshat? So the great Aruch HaNer, Yaakov Ettlinger, who, when we get closer into Sukkot, we're going to talk a lot about him in his famous sefer, the Bikuri Yankov. His sefer is like the Mata Ephraim, is the Bikuri Yankov on Sukkot. So the Aruch HaNer was a Rav in Germany, so he used to give sermons. So this shtickle comes from one of his sermons. I always mention, I find it somewhat ironic that, you know, in all the yeshivas, everyone learned Bikuri Yankov religiously. I don't know if everyone knows that Bikuri Yankov had a very thorough secular education. He went to college. He had a very high-ranking degree in college. I don't know if the right wing knows that. We'll keep it a secret. We don't want to tell them. But I told my talmidim in yeshiva because they all go to college. So you guys should feel comfortable. The Bikuri Yankov, he went to college also. He was a well-known, very educated German rabbi, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, the Rebbe of Rabbi Shamshon of Folach. But in any case, says the Aruch HaNer. So what's the pshat? Why some years yes, some years no? So he says a gavaldik idea. He says it depends on how we treat a Shabbos. Because what's the pshat? We come to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We said last year Hashem we couldn't blow shofar. We so worry about your Shabbos, we couldn't blow shofar. So Hashem says to himself, one second. What about all the other Shabbosim of the year? You do this wrong and you do that wrong. You don't care about Shabbos. So who are you fooling? You're telling me that the reason why we didn't blow shofar last Shabbos is because we worry so much about Hashem Shabbos? Come on. On a regular Shabbos, we have no problem being mechal this and being mechal that and doing this and doing that. And also now, Rosh Hashanah, we can't blow shofar. Please, you wanted to get out of shul an hour earlier. That's why you don't blow shofar. Says the Aruch HaNer, Shabbos comes to either be our defendant or Shabbos comes to be our prosecutor. If the years that we kept Shabbos properly, Shabbos comes to Hashem and says, listen. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Shabbos comes to Hashem and says to Hashem, listen, look at these people. They love your Shabbos so much, they're even willing to forgo mitzvahs. And then Hashem says, Taka, beautiful, we have a wonderful year. But the years when Klal Yisrael did not do well, because Shabbos comes to Hashem and says to Hashem, they're full of it. They don't care at all about your Shabbos. Look, they're playing in the park, and they're doing other things that are questionable. They don't care about your Shabbos. So then don't let them off the hook for not blowing shofar. So says the Aruch HaNer, Mamish, a gavaldik idea, that every time Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah coincide, Mamish depends on how we treat Shabbos. Either Shabbos will be our biggest defender, and therefore will be a terrific year, or Chas V'Shalom, Shabbos can be our prosecutor. It's something we have to think about. You know, one of the messages from last Shabbos was our first Shabbos of the new year. We have to ask ourselves, what type of Shabbos did we put forward? Did we put forward a Shabbos where we can say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're proud of how we conduct Shabbos? Shabbos will then be our defender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chas V'Shalom, Shabbos will be a prosecutor for us. And therefore, it's not going to be a taina that we didn't blow the shofar. It's actually going to be a taina on us that we didn't blow the shofar.
Three twice.
Again, very bekitzer. I don't want to talk too much about Inyani Tshuva because, again, everyone is on a tight schedule. Everyone's on a tight schedule and we want to get to the sugya at hand. Just a thought, another thought that I had. Again, I urge everyone to listen to Rav Asher Weiss's message from Friday. I'm not going to say it here, as I told Jake, I'm saving it for my shul, but it's a fantastic, gavaldig idea from Rav Asher Weiss. You should listen to him every week, but if you didn't listen in the past, I urge you all to listen to what he had to say about this past week, this Friday, his message about the Yom HaDin is amazing. It will change your entire Yom Kippur experience, and I urge everyone to listen to it, but I'm not going to say it over because it takes a little too much time, but I want everyone to, it's definitely worth listening to. Definitely, his intro is perhaps the most powerful part, like the first 3-4 minutes. Is fantastic. But in any case, I'm just going to, another thought that I had, which I said over this week, in the Chumashir, I said over in a couple of schools that I spoke at, I just think it's an important message. When we talk about, you know, being the person we want to be, we talk about, you know, tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, so we understand that the idea of tzedakah is not about writing a check. I mentioned this before, that the idea of tzedakah is becoming a baal rachamim. We need to become more compassionate people. We need to feel compassion. We need to think about other people. We need to feel about other people. We need to worry about other people. We need to be concerned about other people. And we're living in a time right now where I think everyone is on board now that the uptick of corona is something we have to deal with. I think there's no one that wants to bury their head under the sand and say it's not here. Even in Lakewood, they're already acknowledging that it's a problem. And it is a problem. And I hate to say it, we have no one else to blame besides for ourselves. I'm really getting tired of people blaming de Blasio. De Blasio is a lot of things. Foolish. a lousy mayor, a socialist. He's a lot of things. Do I really think he's anti-Semitic? I don't know. But I think he's a fool. But he's not the blame why we have an uptick in our communities. We have the blame of an uptick in our communities. Because we walk around and we do what we want and we go to chasnas and we go to bar mitzvahs and we go to kiddushim. It's us to blame. There's no one else. Ein lanu ela ani. We got to turn to ourselves. And I think that's such an important message as we come into Yom Kippur. We got to stop blaming other people. We live in a world where it's always someone else's fault. Let's look in. I don't mean community by community. I mean all of us. But we all have a part to play in what's going on. If we're all zaris and we're all careful about other people, we'll all be better off. And I said it into my shul. I mentioned this to my shul on Rosh Hashanah, that the biggest school for the Yom HaDin is to wear a mask. It's the biggest school in the world. Why? Because it's a statement that I don't think about myself. I think about other people. And that's what we need to find things in this world now to be able to gain slicha v'kapara. I think that's a great one. I think the other one is kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem. We're living in a world right now where it's bad. And people have been telling me that the news, the major news stations are running every night. The Orthodox community is not wearing masks, this, that, and the other. And again, it's true. This is not fake news. Go to Bar Park, go to Williamsburg, go to other communities. We're not wearing masks when we walk around the street. It's not anti-Semitism. But I think we have an obligation as Yidden to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. We need to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech. It doesn't look very good when his small chosen people are all breaking the rules. You know, we have rules, we have regulations. We also have our own health to worry about. There are people that are getting sick. There are people that are in hospitals. People say no one's dying from corona. It's not true. I know people that are very sick right now. In hospitals, that are very ill from this infection that we said officially went away. Which, of course, we know never went away. And I think we have to try our part to be compassionate. We got to think about other people. I had a lady call me up yesterday, Mom, Friday, crying to me. She doesn't know what she can do. No one else wants to wear masks. Everyone wants to do what they want. She doesn't know what else she can do. She told me she's heartbroken. She doesn't know what else she can do. And when she tells people to put on a mask, they make fun of her, they yell at her. You know, what else can she do? We're living in a very trying time, and this is splitting people apart. It's creating animosity, and it shouldn't. We should all just do what we're supposed to do. Follow the rules, follow the laws, and Mr. Shem, it should all go away. We hope, we pray, we daven. So I think as we come to the Yom Kippur this year, instead of turning outwards, we always have to turn inwards and ask ourselves, are we doing our part? Are we doing the most we can do to be compassionate about others? Are we sensitive to others? Are we considerate of others? Are we thinking of others? Are we worrying about others? And we're following the rules, and we got to make sure we make Hashem Shemayim. We can't make a Chal Hashem. The worst thing right now in this season is to make a Chal Hashem. That's the last thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, is going into the Yom HaDin, saying, oh my, look at my children. They look so bad. Again, you walk in Manhattan, every guy is wearing a mask. Everyone. Without fail. Again, you probably know about this more than I do. I don't really get out there in the regular world so much, but for those of you that work outside the Jewish sector, you'll see they're all very makbid. I've seen it. I had to go to Manhattan a couple times. I'm telling you, that's choyk v'layava by the guy. I'm like, it's a hamish. Yeah, no, you want, you don't want. It's a chumrah. It's like a briska chumrah to wear a mask. It's not ishka briska chumrah. It's make a radin. We need to wear it. We have to be more zari. Mr. Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see that we're worrying not only about ourselves, but worrying about others. We're concerned about others. We care about others. We daven for others. And Mr. Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shower us this year with a year full of bracha, natzlacha, parnasa, good health. Peace in the world, peace in Eretz Yisrael, peace in our homes, peace in our own minds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all the necessities that we need to survive, to be matzliach this year for ourselves, for our family, for all of Klal Yisrael. Mr. Hashem, this Wednesday night we're going to have a special halacha shir on the topic of what to look for when buying the Dalet Minim. I think it's important. Many people go, it's always one of my jokes. We ever watch people at the Lulav and Esrig store, they're holding up the Lulav, they're holding up the Esrig. Between me and you, they have no idea what they're looking at. They have no idea, but they know that that's what you're supposed to do that's what you're supposed to do. You go to Lulav, you're supposed to look at it. You know, you hold it up like this, you hold it up like that, you dance it around. That's just like protocol. You know, when you go to Lulav and Esrig store, you got to do that. So I believe that the Wednesday night we will tackle what exactly you should really be looking for and what's really important to look for in a Lulav and an Esrig. Okay, so today's topic is relevant all the time, but this year it's even more relevant. The question is, what is the lumdus behind why we go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur? And we'll see there's at least three or four practical nafkaminas into why we go to the mikvah and Erev Yom Kippur, and many of them pertain to this year. So we know, we spoke about before Rosh Hashanah, that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the assumption is we go to the mikvah for one reason. We go to the mikvah because of Keri. Just a little bit of a background. The Gemara tells us in Seches Baba Kama that Ezra made a takana that any male that has Keri come out of him, whether it was Birishus or Shalei Birishus, meaning a guy who lived with his wife properly, nothing. He didn't have Machshavas Rois, he did everything he was supposed to, he lived with his wife, Mekayim Mitzvah, but he had Keri. So Ezra made a takana that anyone that has Keri has to go to the mikvah before he learns and before he davens. That was one of Takana's Ezra. Now, we're going to learn later today that the Gemara basically abolished that, and that's no longer mandated. But for every Shana Evim Kippur, we want to be extra from. So that's why we go to the mikvah. So that's what we mean when we keep on saying you go to the mikvah because of Keri. That's because if a man had Zera come out of him, he goes to the mikvah because of Keri. Now what about Erev Yom Kippur? So there's a rush in number one in Perek. I have to find where the Ma'amar Kaimis is. I know my kids said we changed the Zoom room, the Zoom layout now, everything is different. So the Ma'amar Kaimis, does everyone see the Ma'amar Kaimis? No. Okay. Adina! I have to get the team here to figure out how to get the Ma'amar Kaimis back up. Okay. The Ma'amar Kaimis are, I don't know. Adina! If ever a reason why we need to get back into Shurim live, this is it.
Rabbi, you want me to call your home phone in the meantime?
You could try. There's no guarantee anyone answers that either.
All right, I'll call your wife's cell. Hold on.
That's Eichet the Suffolk. It's probably a Sfek Sveker, right? Okay.
Don't worry. They all respond to Michael.
That's true.
Adina will be on camera.
That's definitely true. 100%.
Spa over
them
than you do.
That's for sure true. How do I get the Ma'amar Kaimis back up here? Okay, in any case, well, we're going to get started because I definitely don't want to waste everyone's time. I don't know where they went. They were here before. Where'd they go? I don't know. Okay. So in any case, the Gemara, the Rosh in Maseches Yuma says like this. The Rosh in Maseches Yuma talks about the Amoroyim. This right?
I gotta go off the shill line. I gotta call from my home. Dr. Rush, we got it. I figured it out. Okay, Dr. Rush, like this.
The Omar of Amroim, he quotes from the Goinim. We're going back to the times of the Goinim. Omar of Amroim, Tovel Odom B'Sheva Shoyis. A person should go to the mikveh in 7 hours into the day. 7 hours into the day is approximately an hour after Chatzais. Umispalo Tfilos Mincha, then he should have a mincha. So the first thing we see right away is that the Goinim were giving us a time when to go to the mikveh. Should go to the mikveh at 7th hour into the day. And then daven mincha, which means you should be tohar when you go to mincha. But Amr Reb Sadia, then he quotes from Reb Sadia going bali yosoy militful on your way off from going to the mikvah mevarich alat tefila. You should make a bracha. Kavad gichidish of Amr Reb Sadia going held when you come up from the mikvah on Evim Kippur you make a bracha. Says the Rosh, the ein devarim nirim bezeh. Says the Rosh, I don't understand this. Shulay matzino bashas remez let tefila zu. Where's it saying in the Gemara you're supposed to make a bracha when you go to the mikvah on Evim Kippur? It's not brought down in the Gemara. V'ein lo yisod neviim. It's not even based on the neviim. V'lo yminig neviim. It's not even a minig neviim. It's nothing. It was made up by the goyim. V'lo yadifa me'agrova. It's no better than clapping a rova on a shana rabba. The amale chovit chovit v'lo yberich. Where we paskin that you clap, you don't make a bracha. Kasava minig neviimu. So, Frek Rosh, how on earth could Rav Amram, could Rav Sadia goyim justify making a bracha on mikvah nevim kippur? There's no gemara anywhere in Shas that says you have to go to mikvah nevim kippur. So, if it's not a chiyuv. It's not a chiv de rabbanon, so how can you make a bracha? We have a rule, you can only make a bracha on something which is obligatory. This is at best a minhag. So Frek the Rosh, how could Rav Sadia Goin actually make a bracha on the mikvah Nevim Kippur? And therefore he concludes, maybe another possibility. He says there's another possibility. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which we'll see in a few minutes, that Rabbi Yitzchak says you have to be mitar yourself before regal. So therefore says the Rosh, maybe that was Pshat Rav Sadia Goin. Rav Sadia Goin took that Gemara literally, that you have to become tohar before Yom Tif, assuming Yom Kippur is included in a regal, and therefore it's takachiv. So if it's takachiv, you can make a bracha. Says the Rosh, it can't be. Why? Hainu l'tarat mimikol tumois. Because if Yitzchak meant, you have to take off all tumas. V'afilu mitumas meis, even tumas meis. Ula hazaz olav shlishi v'shvi. V'inna ein lana taharis. Says the Rosh, but that's impossible. Because when the Yitzchak said a person has to be mitar himself on Yom Tif, he meant from all tumas. And it's impossible to take off all tumas. We can't take off tumas meis today because you need to have hoizah shlishi v'shvi from the afar paraduma. We don't have a afar paraduma, and therefore says the Rosh. Therefore, there is absolutely no mikar for why one person should go to the mikvah. Then he throws in an important line: the kimish ain balikarian toivin kolashana kula. And since normally, meaning he's trying to say, don't try to tell me that the reason why I go to the mikvah is because of balkari. Says the Rosh, the kimish ain balikarian toivin kolashana kula. But that Balkari never goes to the mikvah before davening. So why all of a sudden today? Therefore, ain choyva l'tfilah zu is absolutely no obligation. The ain levarach alav. You can't make a brach. Elo shenagu ha'olam. It's a minug. L'tar atzma mikari l'tfilah z'yom ha'kippur. It's again a minug, Dr. Rosh. To be mitar yourself before Yom Tif because of Keri. So again, clear from the Rosh that the reason why we go to the mikvah on Evim Kippur is only because of Keri. And that itself is not really required because strictly speaking, we're not makbid for Keri. But for some reason, we do it on Yom Kippur. And there's a smach from a medrash in Parshas Veschana that says, that in Yom Kippur we want to be clean like Malachi Asharis. We know that throughout Yom Kippur there's this analogy to Malachi Asharis, which we'll talk more about. Therefore, says the Rosh, that's why. So again, strictly speaking, you don't have to go to Mikvah Rol in Yom Kippur. The reason why we go is because of Keri. We don't do Keri the whole year. No. An extra chumrah to be more makbid, to be clean as possible. That's why we go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, what's this Gemara that the Rosh references? It's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Tazanim Abayz, number 2. Dr. Gemara. Amrib Yitzchak. Chayiv Adam Litar Etzatim Ebregel. A person is obligated to be Mitar himself before Yom Tov. Shenemar. Where do we learn it from? From a very interesting place. Pasuk in Parsha Shmini. It says, Uve Nevelosam Loisi Go. In the Nevela, you shouldn't touch. You shouldn't touch a dead carcass. Who shouldn't touch? Satani Nami Hachu Vinavlasam likes to go, Yahu Yisrael Muzar al Maga Nevela. I would have thought that the pasuk is referring to a Jew, non Kohen. He's not allowed to touch a Nevela. Can't be. Tamalim, it says in the Torah, Emarala Kayhan Bnei Aaron, Bnei Aaron Muzar, Bnei Yisrael Eden Muzar. We know that when it comes to real Tumah, forget Nevela. A real Tumah, Tumas Meis, only Bnei Aaron Amak, but not Bnei Saren. So therefore, fighting Mavel is a Kav Chaymu. If it comes to real tumah like a mace, there's no such thing as tumas mace on a Yisrael. Tumah kalu like kolshkein. How could there be that there's a din that a Yisrael is not allowed to touch a dead squirrel, a dead horse? How could that be? Elamat tamlem what's behind the pasuk? Over nevlasim loisigo beregel. So therefore says the Gemara, we learn from this pasuk not that a Yisrael is not allowed to touch a nevela on a Tuesday. We learn from this pasuk that you're not allowed to come in contact with tumah prior to regel. Now, the Turi Evan points out, you don't see from here that you have to go to the mikvah before Yom Tov. You see from over here that don't touch dead animals on Yom Tov. Right? From the drasha is, means don't touch things that make you tummy. But what happens if you're already tummy? It doesn't say over here that you have to take off pre-existing tummy. It says, don't do things that put on tummy. So the Turi Evan argues, one can make the case that I have no chiv to take off the tummy that I have. I just have the chiv not to put on tummy.
Don't climb on this.
Or to do things that can cause
Jay, please mute.
Or to thanks. Do things that can cause tumma. But Mashenke and the Chiyuv to go out of my way to go to the mikvah, that you don't see from the pasuk. Yet that's what the Gemara seems to learn. Chayiv Adam Lataris Asim Abregel means I got to go into a mikvah. That's how the Rosh understood it. Which again, that doesn't necessarily have to be pshat in the Gemara. You could have learned the Gemara. Chayiv Adam Lataris Asim Abregel doesn't mean I have to be Matar myself. It means I have to make sure not to become tummy. That's what the pasuk sounds like. Uvin Vlasam Loisi Go. But clearly the Rosh understood that this is a Chiyuv to actively remove tumma. To which the Rosh says, either all or nothing. If you can't take off all tumah, don't bother trying any of it. To which one could argue, which we'll see, the Bach argues, no. You take off whatever you can take off, and the rest of it will be there. So this is the Gemara. The Rashi in Chumash, I didn't put it on the paper, but if you look in Rashi Chumash and Parashat Shmini, Rashi quotes this drasha 100%. Which means that there's a chiyuv, the Rosh of the Gemara is chayiv, which means there is some form of an obligation for a person to go to the mikvah before Yom Tov. The Ramban on Chumash disagrees. The Ramban writes that this is only an asmachta. It's not a real chiyuv deraisa. The Ramban writes, Umasha Amru, 3 lines in, number 3. Umasha Amru, talk to Ramban, Umasha Amru, chayiv adam taas meberego, mitzvah medivrei soifrim. Says the Ramban, that's only the Ramban. The aim was emin atayra asay oilois. It's absolutely not a din deraisa. It's not a din deraisa. But the pashtus of Rashi, Rashi in Chumash in 2 places, we'll see Rashi in Shas also, Rashi also is a real din. There's a real din, a person is obligated midiraisa maybe. Now if you hold it taka midiraisa, that's very posh, you should make a bracha. If it's a real chi of tvila, it's a chi of deraisa, then the chari should make a bracha. Now on the flip side, if it's a real chi of tvila, you can't accomplish it by going into a tisha kabin. You can't use a shower. If it's a real chi of tvila b'mikvah, you gotta go into a mikvah. The only time you can use tisha kabin is if you're trying to accomplish keri. But if you need to do a real tvila, neither can't go into tisha kabin. A real tvila b'mikvah needs to be in a mikvah. So if you assume that this is a real drasha and this is a real chiv and somehow this could be the obligation for going to the mikvah and having kippur, which again the Rosh rejects that. But lo yitzur, the chayv then A would make sense that it should be a deraisa, B would make sense you make a bracha, and C it would make sense that you should absolutely not be allowed to use tisha kav, you'd have to use a real mikvah. Now, we'll talk about Erev Rosh Hashanah in a second. Yeah, we'll see if Erev Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the same. We'll get to that in a second.
According to this, it should be all the regalim.
Yes, 100%. We'll see in a second why Bedafka Yom Kippur doesn't even make sense to fit into this. We'll come back to that, hopefully, in a few minutes. Now, there happens to be Gemara in Yevamos, number 4, top left corner. The Gemara in Yevamos is talking about the difference between Erusin and Nisuin. We've learned, because we did Kedushin and Gittin, that we know there's 2 stages of marriage. The first stage of marriage is called Erusin. that stage of marriage is halachically binding for some laws, but not for all laws. Then there's the second stage of marriage, which is called nisun. I often have to remind people that what we call today engaged is meaningless. That has absolutely no halachic status. An engaged couple has no halachic status. Some reason people think that when they're engaged, they're allowed to do things that they're not allowed to do, and it's wrong. Engaged means nothing. Halachically means absolutely zero. You have no halachic change in your relationship. Erusin is a real change. Erusin, you put a ring on a finger, you tell her, Arei Amukadesh Shli, that's real. But the Gemara says, what's one of the differences between Erusin and Nisuin? So the difference is whether or not you're allowed to become a tamet to them. So the Gemara says, Yivam is number four, says the Gemara, Arusa, Ishtei Arusa, if a person has a wife who's an Arusa, Loi Oinin, he doesn't become an Oinin to her, Veloi Metamelo, he doesn't become tamet to her. Vechein he, same thing with her, Loi Oinenes, Veloi Metames lo, she doesn't become an Oinin to him, and she's not mitame to him. So Rashi's bothered with Akasha. What do you mean she's not mitame to him? So Bishlami, he's not allowed to be mitame to her if he's a kohen. So normally a kohen is not allowed to be mitame to a dead body. But if it's a relative, he's allowed to become tummy. Zokti Gemara, Arusa is not enough of a relative and he's not allowed to become mitame. But what does it mean that she's mitame to her, she's mitame to him? Bas kohen has no restrictions of tumma. It says Nuchum is b'nei Aaron, v'loi b'nei Aaron. So what does it mean that she's not allowed to become tummy to her? So Rashi writes at number five. The lav dafka nokat. So Rashi, it's lav dafka, because v'loy mitama the habenayis aron loy huzaru. So Rashi, you're right. It's really lav dafka, because benayis aron don't really have this restriction. It's only that we said it by the man, we said it by the lady. But then Rashi says another pshat. V'linir is a Rashi. V'loy mitama kigayim biregel sheyisraeli muzarim al hatumah mirvlasim loy sigab sechas Rosh Hashanah. Says Rashi, no, I take it back. Maybe it is negei halacha l'maisa. What happens if this girl's married to a man after Erusin, and he dies 2 days before Yom Tov, and she wants to know, am I allowed to become mitamet to him? If she's going to become mitamet to him, she's not going to be able to become b'taharin to Yom Tov. On that, Zok the Gemara, no, she's not allowed to, because she needs to come into Yom Tov b'taharin. So what do you see from Rashi? You see from Rashi, first of all, that we accept this dinner of Yitzchak, that you have to be mitara, atzmei beregel, koyim Yom Tov, or at least you're not allowed to actively do things that make you tameh. But even more than that, what do we see? It's negei to women also. The Chayyim, you see from Rashi that this din of Chayv Adam, the Taras, maybe Regal, is not only for men, it's for women also. And therefore, Zokt Rashi, that's why a lady who only has Erusin, she's not allowed to become Metamet to her Arus, because she has to come to Yom Tov, B'Tahara. So again, the Chayyim, you see from Rashi that the din of Chayv Adam, the Taras, maybe Regal, is at least refraining from becoming Tamet. This really helps us with the Turi Evans Kasha. The Turi Evans Kasha was really...
Why would it be in the Gersh? It's a classic mitzvah to say she's mine from it. It's a lino gaya before the regal, or before Yom Kippur, or wherever it is. Oh, but not a whole year round. Why is it a mitzvah to say she's mine from it?
Well, again, if you hold it somehow connected to Yom Tifs, then we say the rule that anyone who's chayiv in Yom Tif is chayiv in this. Like women are chayiv in Shmir Shabbos because they're chayiv in the Isser of...
She's not chayiv in a lulav and an Isser. Not every mitzvah of Yom Tif is she's chayiv.
So we didn't see yet...
In the general Yom Tif, she's chayiv, but not in every plot.
So we haven't yet... So we have to wait and see why exactly is this din of Yitzchak true. Why is it true that a person has to be mitar himself before Yom Tif? And we'll see whether or not it even makes sense to apply it to women. But so you see the chayyim from Rashi in the way he learned the Gemara in Yevamos, that the drush at least tells me don't do things that are going to make you tummy. Okay, let's take a look over here, number 6 in the Bach. The Bach on the side of the tour in Simen Tov Reish Vav, he comes to defend the Rosh's taina. The Rosh had a cash on the goyim. The Rosh said, if you're going to go to the mikvah because of chayiv adam latar atzma beregel, you got to take off all tummy. And since, says the Rosh, you can't take off Tumas Meis, all or nothing. Frag the Bach, why is it all or nothing policy? Says the Bach number 6. Time moi, the Acher, the Omer, B'yitz, Chayv, Adam, Taras, and B'Regel, Im Kain, Tzarech, L'Varach, Al Tahara. Argues the Bach, I disagree. Says the Bach, I think you should make a bracha when you go to the mikvah. Why? Im Kain, Tzarech, L'Varach, Al Tahara, Ka'al, Ko, Mitzvah, Derabonin. It's like a Mitzvah, Derabonin. It's interesting, he calls it a Mitzvah, Derabonin. I would have argued that if we're learning it from a Yitzchak, it might be a Deraisa. Machlok is Rashi and Ramban Chumash. According to Rashi, it might be a Mitzvah Deraisa, while according to Ramban, it's a Mitzvah Derabonin. I says the Bach umashe hisig al Rosh al zed Reb Yitzchak ain haino latar asma v'kol tumo. I the Rosh had a kasha that according to Yitzchak it's all. Says the Rosh ain asog, it's not a kasha. Tekel mei ma vaday kenu the latar asma v'kol tumas kama. Well, you know what Yitzchak meant? Chayiv adam latar asma min atumo from all that you could do, whatever tumo you could take off. El avshal pikein b'chol tahara v'tahara she'ef shaloi latar asma chayiv levarichla, whatever you can do. Says the Bach, I don't understand the Rosh's argument. The Rosh says, well, if you can't take off Thomas Mace, you can't take off anything. Why? Let me take off whatever I can take off. If I can take off Thomas Carey, I'll take off Thomas Carey. I piss whatever, come out the Efsha. Why was the Rosh so quick to reject the notion that this could be for Rabbi Yitzchak? Because, well, if you can't get everything, you can't get nothing. No. We are, believe whatever you can get. So therefore, the Bach really seems to sound like he thinks there is a chiyuv to go to the mikvah, also Rabbi Yitzchak, and you should even make a bracha. But he concludes, Ulinyan halacha, kivin de plukta, the rabbi says, since Lamais is a big machlokes, ain levarach mesafik, vachinoi. He's not willing to say you should make a bracha. But he is willing to accept the notion that it's possible that the Sivas HaTfilah, the reason why we go to the mikvah is not just whatever like the Rosh said, because Tosefes Kedusha, or Tosefes Tahara, or Malach Yesharos. It might have to do with Rabbi Yitzchak, Chayiv, Odom, Latar, Atzmei, Biregel, B'chom Ma'adah Efshar, whatever we can do. The Karben Nisanel, on that Rosh in number 7, points out that why does the Rosh think today that we can't be Matahar Mikol Tumo? Because he says, number 7, the Ein Lan Afapar, we don't have Afapar Raduma. Says the Kabbalah Sanal, that's why all the Rishonim, or the majority of the Rishonim, don't bring down the Din of Yitzchak. We absolutely have no obligation to become Torah before Regal. Why? Because we can't take off Thomas Mace. Since you can't take off Thomas Mace, why bother?
By the way, I just saw a video a couple of days ago. Somebody said of a Parah Aduma in Argentina. There was I couldn't have you examine it, but there was somebody sent me a video that they found the Parah Aduma that they're keeping and hopefully Mashiach will come and they'll have that Parah Aduma.
So they had one in Lakewood for a few years ago that turned out not to. Did they send the team down to check it out?
I don't know who checked it out. They were saying it was, they showed it. It certainly, from what they showed, it looked very red. And obviously, you can't see if there's one star on it or two stars, base hours. But I don't know who checked it. I don't know whose authority.
I know the one in Lakewood was a big tumult. They found one in South Jersey near Lakewood. They sent down a whole team of Rabbanim who were experts in this. And it turned out it wasn't the right one. Halavai? Halavai should be the right one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
attitude.
Hopefully, there'll be no guy.
Hopefully, it's going to get very soon, 100%. So the Karben Nisanel has a kasha. In fact, the Karben Nisanel, what about Rashi? Why did Rashi talk about this din? So, Pashup Shad, you'd say that Rashi is a raya against the Rosh's taina. The Rosh said it's either all or nothing. Maybe Rashi holds like the Bach. That's not all or nothing. Chayiv adam b'taras b'regel is even when there is no paraduma. Even Bisman after the Paradumum. Because, like the Bach said, Kolma de Efshir Efshir. But the Karben Nisanel doesn't say that. He says something very interesting. He says, how does Rashi bring it down? So he says, Hainu Bisman Atanoim Vamaroim Shohilem Adain Afapar. He says, because Rashi is referring to the times in the Gemara where they still had a Faparadum. Meaning, historically, even after Churban Beis Hamikdash, Bisman Atanoim Vamaroim, there was still some Paradumum left over. So Zog the Karben Nisanel, that's what Rashi means. Now again, I don't know why the Karben Nisanel had to lock himself into that. I would have thought that Rashi's Gufa Araya to the Bach, that you don't need to have a Far Paradum. The only problem is he ends off saying, but it's against the Beis Shmuel. Why? Because if you look in the Beis Shmuel in Eben Ezer, the Beis Shmuel writes this Rashi, Halacha Lamaisa. He writes that if a lady gets married to a man, and after Erisin he dies, so she's not allowed to become Metamitim. Why? Because she needs to be Metar Atzmei Beredo. The Beis Shmuel lived not in the times of the Tanaim Vamaroim. He lived way after that. He's commentary on the Sarah Shulchan Aruch. So Frek, the Kash is, and that's not going to work. That definitely doesn't work. So that's another right to the Bach. That the Pshat Mechayiv Adam Mataras Mebaragel in Rashi has nothing to do with Tumas Meis. It's about taking off whatever Tumah you can take off. And therefore, even after the Zman HaGemara, when there was no longer Afar Paraduma, it was still Shayach to fulfill this din, which is why the Beis Shmuel brings it Halacha Lemais, and we'll see later on, the Mishnah Brura even brings it Halacha Lemais. But before we get to that, let's try to understand why Taka is Chayiv Adam Lataras Mebaragel. Why? For what reason? So if you look in the Rambam in number 8, the Rambam is in Hilchos Tumas Eichlin. Zok the Rambam called Yisrael Muzar and Lias Tahirim Bechol Regel. Every Jew needs to be Tahir for all holidays. Neshem Nechoinim Likonis Bemitish. Because you have to be ready to enter into the Beis HaMikdosh. Ulechel Kachim. Ti Kachim. Bezeh She'omar B'Tayro U'Benevelasom Loisigo U'Beregel. That's what it means in the Torah, in the Vilasam Loisigo. So according to the Rambam, this din of Mitar Atme Beregel L'Chayra should not apply B'Zman Hazeh. The whole reason why you have to become Mitar is only why? Because you're going to go into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to eat Kachim. Avin Esenu HaRabim, that's not the case today. So L'Chayra, if you apply the Rambam Svara to this din, it shouldn't apply today. So if Pshad in the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, then it's a big pella that the Beis Shmuel would bring it down. It's for sure not a Gei B'Zman Hazeh. So the argument can be made that according to this Rambam, Bizman Hazeh, and this is really what Who is it already? I forgot already. The Shagasaya discusses this. The Shagasaya makes this observation that the Chayyur, according to the Rambam, this din is Bechal Nanageh Bezmanazeh.
If you Why is it Nanageh? Any minute, the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down, we're going to need to be ready.
It doesn't sound like that from the Rambam. Maybe. You want to know what the Rambam means?
He's not as hopeful as me.
Meaning you have to say that the Rambam means we have to go into every Yom Tov anticipating that it's going to happen. It sounds like they were ready. Not that we should be ready. It means the people in the times were ready to eat in the Mikdash and the Kachem. So the Shagasari makes the observation that the simple reading of the Rambam sounds like it's not Negev Bezman HaZeh. What happened? What about women? The Chayyur, according to the Rambam, also doesn't make sense that women have to do this, which is against Rashi. Rashi told us that this din of Rabbi Yitzchak applies to women also. Rashi is very clear. But the Chayyur, according to the Rambam, women don't have to be Nechayim Nekanis B'Mikdash V'Lech Kachem. They don't have to eat Kachem. And they definitely don't have to go Lekanis B'Mikdash. So says the Tori Evan in number 9, that the Chayyur, according to this Rambam, it doesn't make too much sense why a lady should have to be Mitar Asmei Bereva. And that's the Chayyur against Rashi, because Rashi told us that a lady has to be Mitar Asmei Bereva. So the Chayyur is a Machoikis B'Shem. Rashi is going to have to say that this din of Mitar Asmei Bereva has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash, nothing to do with Kachem. It's a din of Kedushas Yom Tov. Kedushas Yom Tov requires that every Jew goes into Yom Tov with a certain level of Tahara on them. And they have to take that off before they get in. So the Chayyur, according to Rashi, it's fundamentally different than according to the Rambam. While according to the Rambam, it shouldn't apply Bezman HaZeh and it shouldn't apply to women. While according to Rashi, it's very possible that it applies Bezman HaZeh as well as applying to women also. Now, if you look in Rishonim, when the Rishonim talk about Tefillah and Erev Yom Kippur and Erev Rosh Hashanah, they don't really say much. The most that I could find was the Kolboy. If you look in the Kolboy writes like this, the Mekoymus Yesh Toivlin V'Yesh Ein Toivlin. It was mixed customs. Some places they'd go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur, he lumps them together, which is interesting. And some places didn't go. He says, "Ubnei shetfilos Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur tzrichas tahara moed." Since the tefilos of Rosh Hashanah need a lot of tahara, need to be extra tahor, ve'ein hatzino adayin, and yet the weather wasn't so cold to go into the freezing cold mikvahs. No hagul hitfo. It's a minute to go to the mikvah. Ve'ein mevarchem al tefilos, we don't make a bracha. Fishein rak b'shvil tahara, because it's only there for extra tahara. And he, different guesses who this was, that they used to go Tisha Kabin. So what do you see from the Kolboy? You see that the reason why we go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is not because of Chayv Adam Latar Atzmei Berekh. It's not a Yitzchak's din. The reason why we go to the mikvah is really a minog. It's really just because, why not? The weather is decent, it's manageable, and you get extra Kedusha, the more Kedusha you pile on. And also you can use Tisha Kabin. So you see very clear from the Kolba, he was not buying into the notion of Chayv Adam Mataras Mibaregel is the reason, and he also is clear that you can use Tisha Kab. And that's what the...
But he also lumps together Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So what about as far as carry?
They're the same. They're both the same reason. They're both cause of carry, and you want to have Tzrichas Tahara Moed. And that's why you go to the mikvah. But again, since we're normally not makbid on carry, that's why it's not really a chiv. That's why it's only a minuk.
Right, but so according to the Kolbo, let's say he holds Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur would be the same, and therefore, as far as carry, you could go in the shower, correct?
Yeah, that's what he writes. You could use Tisha Kabin. If you hold a shower, it constitutes Tisha Kabin, as most Achrayim do hold that way. Now, if you look in the Ramah, in number 11, when the Ramah in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah brings down this minig, he writes, Litvol be'er Rosh Hashanah, I got cut off, but Yesh noigim Litvol be'er Rosh Hashanah mishum carry. Period. That's mamish cutting pasting from the Kolbo. People go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah because of carry. The Mishnah Berurah writes right away, and you can use Tisha Kabin. That makes sense. Now, that's Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. So Hilchos Rosh Hashanah wasn't a question. Erev Yom Kippur is a question. Why? Look at the Mechaber number 12.
Yeah, we can't see the Mara Mekam.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. Says the Mechaber number 12, Ein, says the Mechaber, Yochol Litva V'lilkais Masa Sheyirtze. If you want, you can go to the mikvah and give out malchus anytime you want. What is he referring to, give out malchus anytime you want? That's because the Mechaber was of the opinion that you're supposed to give malchus to each other on Erev Yom Kippur. Now everyone always says, oh, that's a Svari thing. If you keep on reading this siman in Shulchan Aruch, the Sif, you'll see that the Ramah goes on to describe in large detail how exactly the malchus take place. How you sit. So why we don't do it today is not sure. I'm sure if anyone's offering to smack another Jew, I'll take them up on the offer, but nonetheless, this is one of the things Svaradim do. It's a well-known minhag in the Svaradish communities that they give each other malchus. Obviously, it's more ceremonial than it is anything. It's not a chance to beat up your friends, but that is the minhag. But what's the lashon of the Mechaber? You go to the mikveh anytime you want. Rakshi kaidim alayla, but it's got to be before nightfall. Ve'ein mevarech al atfil, but you don't make a bracha. The mechaber doesn't tell us why you go to the mikveh, he just tells us the facts. He just says that you go to the mikveh nevim kippur, go in anytime you want, but you don't make a bracha. He doesn't tell you when to go. Doesn't tell us when to go. Comes along the Ramah. The ein tzarich litva rak pamachas beloy vidui. Says the Ramah, you only have to go to the mikveh dunk once, and you don't have to say vidui. Mishum keri, because the whole tefillah is just because of keri. Vuhu adin the hatolas tishka b'mayim nami mahani. And so too does tishka b'mayim work. So the Ramah is very clear. No question. The only reason why we go to the mikveh nevim kippur is one reason: to get off keri. Same reason for Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting, in Hilchas Erev Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't bring down Tisha Kabin. The Ramah doesn't, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, but here the Ramah tells us clearly, you can use Tisha Kabin for Erev Kippur. So, no problem. According to the Ramah, the reason why we go to the Mikvah and Erev Kippur is not because of Chayiv Adam Mutaras, maybe Regal, no fancy lumbuses, simple, strictly because of Keri, and therefore Tisha Kabin would do the job. You can use your shower, no problem. The Vilna Gaon does point out over here, number 13, he does make the observation that when the Mechaber writes, you can go to the mikveh anytime you want. What does he want with that? Lafuke min Rav Amram. He's coming to go against Rav Amram, who said you're supposed to go after the seventh hour. Shekasev b'shal shviyas kaidim mincha. But leisa, zok the gun, it's not true. The ikroin mishum yom kippurim. I'm not exactly sure what those words in the gun are supposed to mean. I mean, the gun is trying to explain the Mechaber. The Mechaber says you can go anytime you want. Rav Amram says you can only go after the seventh hour. Now, we didn't really have a good pshat in Rav Amram. We didn't know why Rav Amram said you can only go after the seventh hour. Zokti Goy, no, you can go anytime you want. You don't really see from the Mechaber why you go to the mikveh. All you see from the Mechaber is that you can go anytime you want and you don't make a bracha. The Lundis you don't really see so clear from the Mechaber. He doesn't give you too much information. The assumption would be is that he holds like the Ramah, that it has to do with Keri, and therefore they're in the same page. But it's not 100% clear in the Mechaber why we go to the mikveh. It's actually extremely vague, in my opinion, according to the Mechaber, why we go to the mikveh. Just on a side note, if you look over here, number 11 or number 12 in the left corner, the Seichemed, I'm sure there are many people that are familiar with, many of you even do this, that they go to the mikveh before the three Yom Tovim. Many people go to the mikveh before Pesach, before Sukkot, and before Shavuos. The question is why? So the simple answer is they probably don't know why, but they do it. People do things. Now, the Seichemed taines that there were those who do it to be Mekayim this Gemara. Since the Gemara says the Chayv Adam Mataras maybe Regel, if we Taka had a real base of Mikdash, we would actually go to the Mikvah before Yom Tov. He tells that those people who did it Zeichel Mikdash. They're those people that Taka go to the Mikvah Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Pesach, Erev Sukkot, and Erev Shavuos to commemorate what it was like to have a base of Mikdash. And when we'll have a base of Mikdash, we're going to continue to do that. So he tells that people were against this minute because they said, "But you're not going on Shabbos. You don't go to the mikveh before Shabbos, so why do you go to the mikveh before Yom Tov?" The answer is because the two have no shaykhis. The reason why a person goes to the mikveh before Shabbos is because, I don't know, he wants to have extra kedusha. Fine. But the reason why a person goes to the mikveh before Yom Tov is because he wants to fulfill the Gemara. Chayiv adam taras mebereg, which according to Rashi and Yevamis, might be negay even bizman hazeh. And Zokti steichem, even if it's not negay practically, we want to institute it zeich the mikdash. We want to remind ourselves that there's given azach called going to the mikveh before the base of mikdash. And therefore he thinks it's a very nice thing that people should go to the mikveh before Erev Pesach, Erev Sukkot, Erev Shavuos. Now, the only nafkamina l'chayru would be that if a person is going to the mikveh for Erev Pesach, Erev Shavuos, Erev Sukkot, l'chayru can't use Tisha Kabin. Because that's not Keri, that's a real tefillah. If that's a real tefillah, l'chayru can't use Tisha Kabin. So if a person wants to say that I want to go to the mikveh before Erev Pesach, Erev Sukkot, Erev Shavuos, because I want to relive the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, then l'chayru wouldn't be able to use a shower, you'd have to use a real mikveh. It's interesting, if you look over here, number 15, the Mishnah Berurah brings it like that. Mr. Buru writes, he's talking about a case if Kohanim have to go to the mikveh before they dochim. So he writes, Nagua Kohanim silsul ba'atzman, litvul ba'erev yomtif, mishum nesiyas kapayim shalomachim. There's a minug that the Kohanim decided to go to the mikveh erev yomtif before they dochim. Says Mr. Buru, but v'gambal avachit zarech odlam l'tara asatzim maybe regal. He said, anyways, you have to go to the mikveh before yomtif. So you see from the Mr. Buru, Mr. Buru thought that there's a psinin to go to the mikveh before erev yomtif. That's like we're saying now, that it might be an offshoot of the Gemara of Reb Yitzchak. The only observation that I'm making is that l'chayru, if that's the reason why you're going, I don't see why Tisha Kabin should work. L'chayru should not help to use Tisha Kabin. If you take a look at number 19b, Reb Moshe Feinstein said that also in Mesiris Moshe. If you look at number 19b from the Sefer Mesiris Moshe, they wrote over here, Reb Label Blank, Shoyalas Rabbeinu. Loma b'tfilah l'chag ha-shvuas ein lismach al-bias v'roisha v'rubay Tisha Kabin mayim shuvim. Why when it comes to going to the mikveh before shvuas, can't you use Tisha Kabin? So he says, "Me'as chalechas l'tfilah shavuos," to say that a shower works. The Eishiv Rabbeinu Reb Moshe answers, "Shali yomtiv Shesibas tefil hu zeich lemikdosh, bevadei shayach rak betfilah mamish. So Dr. Moshe, the purpose of why you go to the mikvah for Yom Tov is a zeich lemikdosh to when we used to go to the real mikvah. So Dr. Moshe, for that you need a real mikvah. Loi b'tishakab and shumetakonis Ezra lekeri. Says Rav Moshe, going before Pesach, before Shavuos and Sukkot does not help for Tisha Kav. Again, if you want to go before Yom Tov because you want to have take off carry, which does Pashtus no Chiyav to, besides Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so then you can use Tisha Kav. But if you're going to go to the mikvah before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, Sukkot and Shavuos, because you want to be like the times of the Beis Hamikdash, Dr. Moshe Mefurish, you cannot use the shower. And then he writes, Rakli Yom Kippur Miyesh Svara Du Ulai Zel Teos. Maybe for Yom Kippur, Zeinish HaKedusha, Avala Maisa Gam Mitzat Kedusha the Tshuva. So if you're trying to use Kedusha the Tshuva, the Lashon of the Pasuk is Mikveh Yisrael. It's a mikveh. So if you're for that, you need a real mikveh. I just saw the quote between Shmuel Kamenetsky. Shmuel Kamenetsky says that Tisha Kabin works even for Tesefes Kedusha. That's mamish against what Moshe is saying. I don't know what Shmuel Kamenetsky meant by that, because the Chayre Tisha Kabin only works for Keri. If you're going for any other reason to the mikveh, Tisha Kabin is not an option. So if I'm going to go to the mikveh for Yom Kippur because I want to be closer to Hashem, maybe that's what it means. I don't know, I'm not sure what the words really mean, but I think with this point of Rav Moshe is very important. According to Rav Moshe, going to the mikvah before Yom Kippur works because it's Tisha Kabin, but going before Sukkot, the chayre, the shower would not help, because there you need to have actual mikvah. Okay. If you look over here, number 19, in the Mat Ephraim, brings down an interesting question. What about women? What about girls? Should girls go to the mikvah before Erev Yom Kippur? So if we, based on what we saw right now, there's really no reason why a single girl should go to the mikvah. We go to the mikvah because of keri. A single girl should not have any keri, so she shouldn't go to the mikvah. But the Elof Lamate writes like this. The single girls. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. 1 second. This is what happens when I don't have the full page in front of me. 1 second. Before we start with that, let's take a look over here in the Darkei Moshe. Until now, we've been accepting the notion that you go to the mikvah for two possibilities. Either because of Yitzchak Chayv Odom Ataras Mebiregel, or because of Keri. Comes along the Daki Moshe with another possibility. Talk to Daki Moshe. V'cheinogin u'me'achesh etam tefila zu mishum Keri, pshitish en tzorech litva rak pamachas, says the Daki Moshe, like we saw in Ramah, the mikvah is because of Keri, therefore you only have to go once. V'chein kasa ma'rivayal b'drosha, sh'oysin sh'toyv m'shosh pomim, v'amivid b'mayim ha'reiz ha'minuk sh'tos. All those people that go into the mikvah 3 times, and they say vidoy, it's all sh'tos, it's ridiculous. You're going just because of Keri. The loy ki ma'aril, but it's against the ma'aril. What's the ma'aril? Sh'kasa b'diyesh litva sh'olish pomim. Maril writes, you should go to the mikvah, go down 3 times. V'gam mashem of Maril, d'loy mahani, atos tisha kabin mayim, arosh, makam tefila. And it also sounds like it's from Maril, you can't use tisha kabin. Why? Because those 2 things go hand in hand. If the tefila is for any other reason besides for keri, you can't use tisha kabin. If the tefila is because of keri, so then you only have to go once, there's no vidoy, there's no tshuva, there's nothing. But if you're willing to accept the notion that there might be another reason why we go to the mikvah, so that might require the rules to be different. The Yeshayim Mimtam Tfilah Zuzak, the Darkei Moshe, why else would you go to the mikvah? Mishla Mishum Keri. It's not because of Keri. El Mishum Da'avi Kiger HaMezgayir the Tzarech Tfilah. Zuzak, the Darkei Moshe, a whole new outlook. You know why we go to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur? It's not because of Keri. We go to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur because Kiger HaMezgayir. And therefore, you got to go 3 times, and that's why you can't use Tisha Kabin. It's a whole new experience. What does it mean to have a kiger hamiskayer? So if you look in Harei Kedem, Rabbi Salavechik explained what he thinks this Darkei Moshe means is like this. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva that midarkei hatshuva liyos hashav tzoyek tamin umisrachik haba min adove shechata bo umishan ishmoy kloimer ani acher ve'ini oiso isha osa oisa maisa mishan maisa kulon the toivu l'derech yishar. The Rambam says, what does it mean real tshuva? To which Rabbi Rice pointed out, how many of us really do real tshuva today? But real tshuva means, I'm mamish, I'm not that person. That guy who last year did all those things, I'm not him. I'm a totally different person. Mamish, different person. I have a different identity. So says Rabbi Salvechik, hinei mevo medevei Rambam, dezehu koichos tshuva. That's what tshuva does. Lahapai chesed gavol adam acher ve'inoy yishishichot v'maisa. I'm a different person. I'm mamish, a new person. I'm born again. New person. He says, now I understand what it means gerus by tshuva. We know when a ger becomes in the sky, he's new. That's why about tshuva is considered a ger. I'm not the same guy. Says Rabbi Salavechik, that's the root of why we go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. It's like a tefillah's ger. We're not a new person. After tshuva, we're a newfound person. You go to the mikvah. That's how you start off a new life. Therefore, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's the pshat in the Darkei Moshe to have a kiger hamaskar. Now, if that's the case, then the chayrut should come out a bunch of nafkaminas. First of all, it should come out, you need to go three times. You can't use Tisha Kabin. And why shouldn't women have to do this? Women should also need to be hamaskar. Therefore, if you look at the Magen Avraham, number 18, he talks right like that. So, at the Magen Avraham, Yesha, Yim Shatam, the Tfil Mishum Tshuva, the Afilu Na'arimu Besulais, even girls, Shehem B'nei Mitzvah Tevel, so they're already Bas Mitzvah, they go to the Mikvah. Another nafkamina. Let's say a guy went on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah is because of Keri. And he knows he didn't see any Keri between now and then. So the Keri shouldn't have to go again. Yes, he does. You also have to go down three times. So the Magadavram is mamish speaking out that the reason that why we go to the mikveh has major nafkamina is la'alacha. Then he writes, some people go to the mikveh before mincha, v'chein noig ma'ril. Some people go after Susan of Sakis. She is Samach Liam Kippur, which should be close to Yom Kippur. Which, if you're going to use the shower, is much easier. When you're on your own schedule, you can go anytime you want. So that's a little easier. However, the Magen Avraham does conclude, and he writes the following. Even if the tefillah on Yom Kippur is because of Keri, and a person went for the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he knows with certainty he saw no Keri between now and then, he still has to go to the mikvah again. Because maybe he did and he missed it. That's the halacha l'maaseh. Mishnah Berurah passes like that also. That even if a person went to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah and he knows there was no carry, at least none that he knows of, he still needs to go to the mikvah again on Erev Yom Kippur. So the chayru, according to this Magen Avraham, it comes out that there's a whole new svara in why you should go to the mikvah, and the chayru it would not allow for Tisha Kabin. If you look in the Elif Lamata says that no.
Rabbi, according even not according to this. Let's say, before the Darkei Moshe, wouldn't a woman have to go Alts Keri also? She was with her husband within a couple of days?
Yeah, but not single girls.
Right. Okay, and then also, according to the Darkei Moshe, that's also connected to the Rav Sadia that we brought down originally in the Rosh, because you definitely can't make a bracha, because if the whole reason is you're doing it Alts Gershin is Geir, a Geir doesn't make a bracha.
Yeah, the only reason Geir doesn't make a bracha is because he can't say the words. He can't say
right.
What he's wanting. Yeah, I grapple with Lofaket. Maybe if it's Taka al Shuvah, maybe it is Shaykh to make a bracha. Maybe it's Shaykh that a person changes himself so fundamentally in such a way, he could make a bracha. Maybe. Again, you're probably right. It probably wouldn't make sense to make a bracha on such a thing because, again, it's not really a chiv. It's part of the mitzvah of Shuvah. I'm not exactly sure what the nunusach bracha would be, but it's something to at least consider. Maybe there should be a chiv bracha on it. Maybe it's only a hechsha mitzvah to the mitzvah of Shuvah. Something you can think about. But the Elf Lamata writes that today the girls don't go to the mikvah. And the reason why the girls don't go to the mikvah today is because we're afraid that if the girls go to the mikvah, the single girls, then there's really nothing stopping them from doing things they shouldn't do with boys, right? One of the things that should stop boys and girls from hanging out with each other or doing things they shouldn't do is that she's an Ida. She's a Chayvei Krisus. Now, high school boys and girls don't usually know that. I used to do this with Amol Talmidim who weren't so makban on these things. I used to play this game with them. What's wrong with touching a girl? Oh, I don't know. She's a Chayvei Krisus. Well, Chayvei Krisus. They don't know what these things mean when you're 17, 18 years old and you have a girlfriend. But in any case, they're Chayvei Krisus. So what they used to do was, in the times in history, they used to have these girls go to the mikveh, make them tar, and then it's not such a bad issue. If she goes to the mikveh, so it's not necessarily, it's definitely not Chayvei Krisus. So the Elif Lamata says, if we're going to allow the girls to go to the mikveh on Erev Kippur.
By the way, Rabbi, that was a whole controversial thing with Rabbi Riskin when he felt with people in his 20s and 30s.
Yes. Which was a problem in the 1700s, problem in the 1800s. Chassam Sofer dealt with it. It's a reoccurring problem in our society to have singles that will take off the tumah, which on one hand you could say is a good idea because now that they're not being oversued, they're rising to high crisis. But the other option is not like giving them a green light to do whatever they're going to do together. So the Elif Lamata writes that the accepted practice is we don't let girls go to the mikvah because it's not a good idea. Once they become tar, we're perhaps setting ourselves up for a problem. But in any case, he makes another argument. He writes from the Mate Moshe. The Mate Moshe says, you know why girls don't go to the mikvah? Because one of the reasons why we go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur is because we want to be Malachi Asharis. Girls cannot be like Malachi Asharis. Okay? So the takeaway from today's shiur is when your wife asks you what you learned this morning, you tell her, the rabbi said you can't be like angels. Okay, good. You won't eat for a month, but that's the takeaway from today's shiur. The Mate Moshe writes, women cannot be like Malachi. It's impossible. He does write, but if it has
Rabbi,
to do with,
that's why they say.
Yeah, David.
That's why they say also those people have the minhag to stand. Those people have the minhag to stand throughout the entire davening on Yom Kippur are Dom Olam Alachim, and women don't have that.
I'm getting to that right now. That's the next Maramachim, David. You beat me to it. Yeah, we're going to get to that in 2 seconds. So Zok de Mata Moshe, since women can't be Nidma Lamalachim, there's no reason for them to go to the Mikvah Nevi Yom Kippur. He says, what about the Svara of Gerish and Isgayer? He says, yeah, in a Chanami. So yeah, now we're starting to split hairs over here. If the reason why women go to the Mikvah is because they want to be like Malachim, so then in theory, they can't be like Malachim. If it has to do with Kagesh and Isgayer, then they should go. So what does this mean that women can't be like Malachim? So if you look over here, number 19c, the Ramah writes a halacha. He writes, Shenogu lilbosh begodim levonim. There's a minute to wear white and clean clothing, b'yom ha-kippurim, dugmis malachi asharis, to be like malachi asharis. V'cheinogum lilbosh ha-kittel, and we also wear a kittel, shehu lavon v'noki. The kittel really has two purposes. It's white and it's clean. Gam hu begid mason. It's also begid mason. V'ayidez aleva odom nichna v'nishma. Says the Magen Avraham right on this Ramah, u'lefize in hanoshim lo yishim levonim. Says the Magen Avraham right off the bat, women don't have to wear white. They can't be like Malachim. Now, David was referring to another halacha, which I didn't put down on the sheet, but there's another halacha that they say you're supposed to stand with your feet together, standing like Malachim, to which the Magen Avraham writes again, not women, because women can't be like Malachi Asharis. So we have a Magen Avraham who writes very clearly that women cannot be like Malachi Asharis. So if you're going to take this reason of why women go, if why you go to the mikvah, is you want to be nidmek malachi asharis, and you accept the Magen Avraham, then the chayv should come out that there's really no reason for women to go to the mikvah. Now,
so what's the basis of women not being like malachim?
I don't know, and nor do I want to attempt to say a pshat. But that's what the lashon of the Mata Moish is. So Shmuel Kamenetsky has a shtickel Torah in the sefer. He says, 1 second, we know that one of the things we do on Yom Kippur is we say Baruch Shem for Malchusoy Lelomvayt out loud. Why? Because you want to be like the Malachim. So he says, I have a feeling that women shouldn't be allowed to say it because women can't be doing Malachim. So he says, no. It's a shayla nachrim about it, actually. But he tells us, no, it's not the pshat. When we say Baruch Shem Kvimach HaSoylam, it's not the pshat we're trying to be like Malachim. It's the pshat we don't have to hide from the Malachim. The reason why we say Baruch Shem quietly is because Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim and he heard the Malachim saying it, so he kind of took it without permission. That's why we say it quietly. On Yom Kippur, we don't have to hide it. Not necessarily is that a declaration of us being like Malach. That's the Shtikl Torah to why women are allowed to say. But there were Achronim that hold that women taka can't say Baruch Shem Kemach Soylam Vayah because of this Magen Avraham, that they can't be Nidma Kemalach. So far, we have a couple possibilities of going to Mikvah. Either it's because of Nidma Kemalachim, either it's because of Reb Yitzchak, or it's because of Keri. So let's try to discuss now the possibility of Keri. So we mentioned in the beginning. Yes?
A Chassidish world that goes to Mikvah every single day. What is that from?
A Chassidish who?
They go every single day.
It could either be because of Keri, which we'll get to in a second. It's most likely because of Keri. Someone told me that Chassidim go to the mikvah on Shabbos not because of Keri. Shabbos is because of Tosefes Kedusha. It's most likely Keri or Tosefes Kedusha. That's what I would guess. Now we'll see about Keri in a second. So we mentioned earlier the Gemara says in Bava Kamma that Ezra made a takana that a man who sees Keri should go to the mikvah before he learns or before he davens. That was Ezra's takana. Which means all of us are in big trouble. Which means anytime a person lives with his wife, before he can go get up the next morning and go to learn, before he can go daven, he needs to go to the mikvah. Says the Gemara in Brachas, number 21, Tanya, Reb Yehuda ben Maaseir, Reb Yehuda ben Maaseir would say, Ein divrei Torah mekabelim tumah. Reb Yehuda ben Maaseir basically said, I disagree with Ezra. Torah can't become tumah. Torah can't become tumah. Which means even if you are tumah, you can still learn Torah. Then the Gemara, I'm just going to skip down, Reb Yehuda's drasha is based on the famous pasuk, Haloi ko divrei ke'esh no mashem. My words are like fire. So the one makes a drasha, my ish ain't a mekabel tumah. Just like fire is not acceptable to tumah. Avdei v'toira ain't a mekabel tumah. So to toira can't become tumah. That was Reb Yehuda's drasha. Now on a side note, and this is a very big machlokes rishonim, even if you hold that toira can't become tumah, what about tefillah? I mean, when Reb Yehuda ben Maaseir said you're allowed to learn toira, what about davening? Again, Ezra banned both, davening and learning. So the drasha of Reb Yehuda ben Maaseir sounds very much like toira, toira, toira. What about davening? So maybe in a chanami. Maybe even according to Ibn Hudim and Maaseir, you still have to go to the mikvah so you can daven. So if a guy lives with his wife...
But we definitely hold that you're not allowed to learn Torah if you, you know, scrap your head, touch something on your body that you're not supposed to touch. You know, let's say you have to do Negel Vasa or something before you learn Torah. So you still have to remove some level of tumah before
Ibn Hudim and Maaseir is not saying that it's a free-for-all. He's just saying that the tumas... He doesn't understand that Ezra's ban of Tumas Keri being a reason not to learn Torah. Now, there's a lot to talk about. How could Yehuda ben Maaseiah argue on Ezra? There's a lot of lumdus over here about how this exactly works. But we'll see that that's the way it basically worked. That Yehuda ben Maaseiah overthrew Ezra's takana. But the Shaila, which is still a machoikis Rishonim, did he overthrow it on both regards, Tefillah and Talmud Torah? Or did he only overthrow it with regard to Talmud Torah? Which means, let's say a guy lives with his wife, and then he wants to get up the next morning and learn Daf Yomi. So that he could do. But if he wants to go to Shachris, then he has to go to the mikvah, even according to Yehuda ben Maaseiah. Or according to Yehuda ben Maaseiah, no, you don't have to do anything. And the Gemara says very clearly in the next line that we pass like Yehuda ben Maaseiah. The Gemara tells us with Nachman by Yitzchak Noag Alma, the Velt is Noag Kahani Tlis Savre, like these three rabbis, and one of them is Yehuda ben Maaseiah, Bedivrei Torah. What's the lashon of the Gemara? Bedivrei Torah. So it sounds like from the Gemara that we only hold like Yehuda ben Maaseiah when it comes to learning, not necessarily when it comes to davening, which will be obviously very relevant to our discussion. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch number 22, Simon Peches, Arachaim, the Mechaber Paskins, you pull it up. Kol Atmeim, all those people that are Tomei, Kairim B'Torah, they're allowed to read the Torah, the Kairim Kriyashma, they're allowed to say Kriyashma, Maspalim, they're allowed to daven. Chutz, be Baal Keri, except for Baal Keri. Shaitziu Ezra Michal Atmeim, Ezra took him out of the regular group of Tmeim, V'asu Be'im B'Devei Torah, Be'im B'Kriyashma, Tfila. Ezra prohibited him from learning Torah, from davening, saying Kriyashma until he goes to the mikvah. Why? What was Ezra's motivation? So Shulchan Aruch says Ezra's motivation was if every time you live with your wife, you have to go to the mikvah, you won't be so quick to live with your wife, you won't be so obsessed, so to say, and you'll moderate the time you're with your wife. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and later on this takana was put done away with. B'divrei Torah, Ube Kriyishma, Ube Tfila, Beloy Tfila, Ube Lerichitza Tishakabim, Vechein Poshet Haminot. So what does the Mechaber say clearly? That we did away with Ezra Takano in all regards. When it comes to davening, when it comes to learning, when it comes to, you don't need anything. And you don't even need Tishakabim, garnish with garnish, nothing. Guy lives with his wife, no problem, go to shul, go to Daf Yomi, nothing to worry about. So clearly we, Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that we completely did away with Ezra's Takano. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, which is probably what the Chassidim are saying, Michon, Umikamakim Yesh Anshei Maisa, there are those Anshei Maisa, Shenoigim B'Takonazu, that they keep this Takona, V'Toivel Nesatme Mekarium, and they are Toivel with Kerry. Then Kosha Alei Matfila, if it's too hard, Roichten Nesatme B'Tishakab, and they can at least do Tishakab. So this is the Makor why many people go to the Mikvah. It has L'Chari to do with Tishak, it has to do with Kerry. Now again, if the guy didn't live with his wife, or he wasn't a Baal Kerry, then there really is no reason to go to the Mikvah. There are people.
Doesn't going to the mikvah every day kind of undermine the whole reason for the takana?
Well, I'm sorry.
If the whole reason for the takana is to minimize the time the man, the husband, and the wife are together, right, going to the mikvah every day, it undermines that reason.
Right, right.
And you can be together every day.
Right. So the question, the way the Gemara then flips it, the Gemara says, well, we don't want people not living with their wives either. That's always that balance, you know. If we go too much the other way, so no one's going to live with their wife. We don't want that either. So this was like, we flipped the pendulum the other way. So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, so for those people who want at least inconvenience, again, today when you have a shower, it's not hard to do Tisha Kabin. If you hold a shower, cancel Tisha Kabin. So I think most of us take showers somewhat daily, so we're ready our Mekayim Tisha Kabin, which means many of us are Taka Makbid on Tfilas Ezra. We just do the Tisha Kabin version of it instead of the actual Mikvah version of it. But there are Yidden today I know of that are Taka Makbid for Tfilas Ezra. They will taka go to the mikvah. If they were with their wife the night before, they will taka go to the mikvah. Because this Mishnah Berurah.
Who is Ravatol?
What?
Who is Ravatol taka?
Maybe Yehuda ben Maaseiah. Now, the question is, how did
the fact that people weren't learning?
Right, because people were not living with their wives. It was one of those takanas. Again, the Me'iri discusses how exactly, logistically, are you allowed to do this. You can't just override it to Kanas Ezra. But that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, there's a Gevaldik Shtikol Torah over here from the Tzvi Pesach Frank in Mikrei Kodesh. At Tzvi Pesach Frank wants to tell you the following lumdus. He wants to say, let's go back to try to explain the Goyim. The Goyim told us that we go to the mikvah on Evim Kippur and you make a bracha. It's a pella. How can you make a bracha? So it says in Tzvi Pesach Frank Gevaldik, he's telling us like this. L'chein nira. The kishem should be yisrael takana chalois talia b'kabol satsivu ube his pashtusa b'yisrael. He says, you know, when they make a takana, it has to be a takana that's going to last. And if it doesn't last, then the takana never stands. Like Pas Yisrael is like that. Many places can say Pas Yisrael was just impossible. So it never took hold in the beginning. But he wants to tie in that maybe Ezra's takana was nisbatel because it never was shaykh. But there was one day a year where it was niskabel. That was Erev Yom Kippur. When Ezra made his takana was nisbashit for one day of the year for Erev Yom Kippur. So he wants the tiny gishmak on the fizer. That's the one day where everyone is so makbid to have tefillas Ezra. Therefore, he says it's possible that day stays like it was when Ezra instituted it. And therefore, if it stays that the way Ezra instituted it, you could taka make a bracha. Meaning, in the time of Ezra, when you went to the mikvah, that was taka bracha. Erev Yom Kippur stays like the way things were b'zman Ezra. Because that was the one day it was nispashi to continue with takanas Ezra. And Melo Zokti B'Si B'Zachwin, taka make a bracha lefiza. Because that one day was the way it used to be. That one day was nispashi to be like Ezra's time, and during Ezra's time he made a bracha. So therefore, Zokti B'Si B'Zachwin, that's pshat why those ge'onim held you can make a bracha. Now, lefi this, we can answer up another kash. There's a Be'er Halacha number 25, where the Be'er Halacha discusses when it comes to Tfilas Ezra, when it comes to Ezra, do you have to have, is Chatzitza a problem? Let's say someone decides he wants to be makbid for Tfilas Ezra. Does he have to do a whole chafifa like the women do before they go to the mikvah? So the Be'er Halacha writes over here, no. They don't have to worry about Chatzitza as long as it's not Roiv Gufa. Okay. So passing the Be'er Halacha, 7 Peches, as long as it's not Roiv Gufa, it's not a problem. There's only one problem. The Mishnah Berurah writes over here on page 3, he's talking about a case where someone who Nebuch loses a family member between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, sitting Shiva. So the Ramah writes, he's allowed to go to the mikvah before Yom Kippur. Not only that, says the Ramah, he's even allowed to wash himself before he goes to the mikvah. Why, says the Mishnah Berurah? Because of Chatzitza. What do you mean because of Chatzitza? Didn't the Be'er Halacha tell me that there's no problem with Chatzitza when it comes to Ezra's Takana? And we're only going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur because of Ezra. So if the only reason why I'm going to the mikvah because of Erev Yom Kippur is because of Ezra, why should Chatzitza be a problem? So B'doichik, you can answer that the Mishnah Berurah is saying that the guy Mamash had Chatzitza B'Roiv Gufay. And even Roiv Gufay is a problem. So he has to wash his body to take over Roiv Gufay. It's a shtickle akimta. But says Reb Tzvi Pesach, Frank's son-in-law, I have a better teretz. He wants to tell you that the Magen, that this Mishnah Berurah is talking about Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur, we go to the mikvah because of real Ezra. Because that's the one day of the year where we kept Ezra's takana in place. And real Ezra, Chatzitza is a problem. On a regular Tuesday when you go to the mikvah, that's only to copy Ezra. That's a zecher Ezra. That Chatzitza is not a problem. The male, it's not a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. Which means, lefizah, chumra la'alocha, that on Erev Yom Kippur, Yitaka has to be more makbid when it comes to Chatzitzas. Which is taka the way the Mat Ephraim paskins. The Mat Ephraim taka paskins, that when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur, you have to be more makbid for Chatzitzas. Which again, the Velt is by and large not makbid, but that's the way the Mat Ephraim writes it, because lefizah, it's geshmak. Because the Erev Yom Kippur tvila is rooted in tvilas Ezra, real tvilas Ezra. Real tvilas Ezra, she's talking, you have to be makbid for Chatzitzas. So that's the shtickle Torah that you can say based on that shtickle from Tzvi Pesach Frank. What I find interesting, and I don't have a teretz for, is the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah quotes the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam, which is number 31, Chai Adam says that you have to go to the mikvah after Chatzos, or at least an hour before Chatzos. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes it in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to Hilchos Yom Kippur, the Mishnah Berurah does not quote such a Mishnah, does not quote the Chai Adam. I don't know why. What's the difference? The Chayra, we keep on saying that the tefillah is the same. It's all carry. So first of all, if it has to do with carry, I don't know what Chatzos has to do with anything. What's special about Chatzos? I would have thought you should go to mikvah as late in the day as possible. This way you have a better chance of not getting carry again. So it's time to say I don't understand the Chai Adam. What's the significance of going after Chatzos? But any case, L'chayru, the way we're seeing it, now the Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are the same. If Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are the same, why is that the Mishnah Berurah does not bring down in Hilchos Yom Kippur what time to go, but it only brings it down in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah? So it could be the Mishnah Berurah figures that we worked out all this lumnus and we figured it's the same, so there's no difference. Again, even if you hold that the lumnus of the mikvah has to do with Gerish and Isgayer, again, I don't see why it should matter about Chatzos. Why should it matter what time you go to the mikvah? Maybe then the fizeh makes more sense to go to mikvah samach l'mincha, like we saw from Rav Amram going. If it has to do with tshuva, the slicha, the kapar, then it makes sense to go samach l'mincha. But if it has to do with keri, which is the pashas of the Ramah, it's a shtickle tzarachim by me why exactly Rosh Hashanah should be different than Yom Kippur. Halach l'maisa, strictly speaking, you could go to mikvah anytime you want today, because the Mishnah Berurah doesn't write like he does by Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. I'm just not sure why not. I don't see what the difference between the two things are. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Now we'll be mekayin in the midst of eating, be mekayin in the midst of Simchas Erev Yom Kippur. Wishing everyone a gemachasim b'tovah, good to be and sure, Mr. Shem, we'll meet together this Wednesday night to discuss.